the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. So welcome. This is today's special on a very special occasion. So, if you want to know, stay with us for today's special on the auspicious day of Mab'ath. Congratulations!
يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان.
Today, Thursday, is the 27th of Rajab, 1442, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of March, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We offer our congratulations on auspicious day of Mab'ath to all brothers and sisters in faith and humanity.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Eid al-Mab'ath, the greatest ever day. What is the significance of Mab'ath that we religiously celebrate each year on Rajab 27th, according to Hijri calendar? As a matter of fact, Mab'ath, which signifies resurgence, is the most important day on which the sun has ever shone. It is the resurgence of not just humanitarian values, but the basic purpose of life and the goal towards which mankind is moving. Hence, it is more significant than the creation of Adam and the start of human race. It is more important than the parting of the sea waters for Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, to allow him to save passage from the oppression of the Pharaoh. It is more precious than the miraculous virgin birth of Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam, without the association of any male for his mother, the virtuous Mary, peace be upon her. In other words, Mab'ath is not a spontaneous occurrence in a barren landscape of the Arabian Peninsula. On the contrary, it is the highest watermark in the history that separates good from evil and shifts right from wrong, for which mankind was being prepared through a long and unbroken chain of divine messengers spanning different areas and various geographical regions in order to build the mindset for the single universal message, Islam. So, on this auspicious day, we offer you our lightest congratulations.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. The prophethood anniversary of the Prophet Muhammad is one of the important events in the history of Islam. Not only in the history of Islam, but in the history of all religions, because Islam is the final divine religion. Briefly, find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dispatched many prophets for the guidance of people. For guiding people, there must be very important and very significant aims. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated it in this way: Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innama bu'ithu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. Certainly, I've been dispatched as the prophet in order to perfect the moral teachings. Now we find that the end point of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad has been perfection of moral attitudes, moral teachings, and people's moral conduct, practical conduct. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an exemplary icon in the sense of obeying the divine instructions. Nobody can say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam failed to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, his conduct was in such a way that we may safely say that whatever has been indicated in the Holy Quran as the intact divine writ was practiced line by line and word by word and concept by concept by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a pity that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the icon of the divine mercy, not only to Muslims but to the whole universe, we find that unfortunately, he, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been portrayed in a negative way in some writings. I mean, in some books, in some literatures produced in this regard. Yet we find that it's indicated explicitly in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. We haven't dispatched you save as an icon of the divine mercy to the whole universe. Now we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated it to people that everybody is expected to be mindful, to be cognizant of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single moment imaginable in the lifetime of everybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere. And at every time, if people realize this, I mean, this, if people really realize this point and they appreciate it, many hardships will be over, because the hardships imposed by some people on other people, this is because of forgetting the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere and at every time. Thank you.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
The first revelation. Prior to Mab'ath, the Messenger of Allah used to frequently escape city life and spend time alone in the cave of Hira, located north of Mecca. There he would worship Allah and ponder about his creation. Day by day, his humility and submission to Allah increased. On one such day, when he was in the cave, something very different happened. It was the 27th of Rajab when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, was 40 years old. This special day is described by Imam Al-Askari, peace be upon him, who says, "Then when he completed 40 years of age, Allah the Exalted and Glorious looked at his heart. He found it to be the best of hearts, the greatest, most submissive, and most humble. Therefore, he, Allah, ordered that the doors of the heavens to open and the angels to descend while Muhammad looked at this. And he ordered that his mercy descend from the bottom of his arsh, his throne, down to the head of Muhammad. And he looked at Jibreel, the trustworthy spirit, encompassed in light, the most beautiful of all the angels, descend upon him, take his upper arm and shake it, saying, 'O Muhammad, read.' He replied, 'And what should I read?' Jibreel said, 'O Muhammad, read in the name of your Lord who created men from a clinging mass. Read. And your Lord is the most generous, who taught by the pen, taught men what he did not know.' On the auspicious day of Mab'as, congratulations to all Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world.
In a time of God.
darkness and greed. It is your light that we need. You came to teach us how to live. Muhammad, Ya Rasulallah. You were so caring and kind. Your soul was full of love.
The pre-Islamic society, not just of Arabia, but also of supposedly civilized worlds of Romans, the Persian, the Chinese, the Indians, is called the Age of Ignorance. Despite their pretensions to power and material achievements, they sorely lacked such basic humanitarian fundamentals as monotheism or faith in the one and creator, or in equality of all human beings without any distinction of color, race, language, and class, social justice, women's rights, compassion, forgiveness, generosity, truthful speech, refusal to bow to oppression, and last but not the least, rationality that not only negates superstitions but grants the freedom of education to all. Thus, the marking of Mab'ath means the renewal of allegiance to all such egalitarian principles that make a true Muslim and lead to the building of the real monolithic Islamic Ummah, which Prophet Muhammad preached through practical demonstration and which the present Muslim world has largely neglected to its own detriment.
On this day, what I did, I decided to look at this day and to look at what the Prophet Muhammad, what he gave to us. You know, the Prophet, he came, he gave us the perfect, what's it called, program for living. The perfect path for us to tread upon to get close to Allah. He's the one who showed us how to get close to Allah. He's the one who showed us how to gain proximity with Allah. So the only way, if we want to get close to Allah, we have to go through him. We can't go through any other types of, you know, Chinese medicine or whatever it may be. We only have to go through the Ahlul Bayt, and that's it. And this is what he gave us, and this is something we should take. But also, when we look through, when we want to look at the situation, we see that there's a huge difference between the Arabs before the Prophet came, before the Prophet proclaimed his prophethood, and after Islam was introduced to them. And when we look at this huge difference of this society in just a few years, the Prophet's mission was only 23 years. So this huge difference in this 23-year period, this is when we could recognize how special the Prophet was. This is when we could recognize, you know, what, how amazing he was and how amazing this message was.
That was all for today's special on the auspicious day of Mab'ath. We congratulate to all Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world on Mab'ath 2021.
Mustafa, anta al-Nabi al-Amin wa Sayyid al-Mursaleen rahmatan lil-alamin jitta bil-haqq al-yameen. سيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
Food for thought. Salam, everybody, and heartiest congratulations to you all on the 27th of Rajab, which is indeed one of the major Islamic festivals. Since this marks the formal start of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to mankind. So let us ponder on a wise saying from the Prophet. You should reward them who do you favor. If you cannot reward them, you should thank. Showing gratitude is a sort of rewarding.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. My congratulations to all of humanity, and more especially to the Muslims, on this being the day of what we consider to be Mab'ath. Mab'ath is that day when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was commanded to do his mission. And this is where we see that we as Muslims and as individuals who have accepted this mission, we have accepted this light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this guide of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, the first person to accept this divine mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first person to accept Islam, the first man to pray behind the Holy Prophet. I say first man to pray because there was a first lady as well. He might even be the first person to pray behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that surely in Allah, that surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and selected and commanded and, you know, made the Holy Prophet become a prophet or command him to kind of, you know, expose the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind as what? Rahmatan lil alameen. As a mercy for all of the worlds. The Holy Prophet's coming is a mercy for everybody. We just have to understand it. We just have to show others. Who is this person and what occurred because of this blessed person? No matter what other people will say in other countries, what other people who deny the sanctity of this individual, we love the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Imam continues and says, it is a completion by means of the Holy Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings for the worlds as well. That by the Holy Prophet's coming, Allah's mercy, you know, took its fullest of forms. And the blessings, which is the highest of blessings. And all of the blessings were completed by the sending of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. InshaAllah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. Ali Salman Benoist, Doctor of Medicine, concerning the Quran, said, "The essential and definite element of my conversion to Islam was the Quran. I began to study it before my conversion with the critical spirit of a Western intellectual. There are certain verses of this book, the Quran, revealed more than 13 centuries ago, which teach exactly the same notions as the most modern scientific researchers do. This definitely converted me." Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Yunus, verses 57 to 59, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Shabib.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to Surah Yunus, verses 57 to 59, recited by Sheikh Ahmad Shabib. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة. You'll see in the word جاءتكم, you'll see a long vowel, alif al-mad, with a sign on top of it, like a squiggly line on top of it. This is the sign of mad, and mad al-maddul muttasil has taken place here. And you have to lengthen this long vowel to 4 or 5 vowel counts. So each count is the duration of one fatha. So if you say جاءتكم, that would be 2 fathas. Okay? But if you say جاءتكم, that would be 4 fathas. And that would be مَدُّ المتصل. 4 vowel counts of مَدُّ المتصل. جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وشفاء لما في الصدور. Again, we have another مَدُّ المتصل here. In شفاء. وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمن. Here we have 2 idghams of Nun Sakana right after another. هدى ورحمة للمؤمن. The first one was مع الغنة. The second one is بلا غنة. Verse 58. قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. I want to talk about one rule of tajweed in this verse, and that is the qalqala in the word yajma'un. We have a jim here which is sakin, and jim is one of the letters of qalqala, so we have to make sure that we hear the sound of the qalqala, the jim, so that the articulators, they retract once they touch each other, once they collide. Yajma'un. Yajma'un. We don't say yajma'un. Okay. Verse 59. قُلَ رَأَيْتُم مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ. This is another mad. This time is madul munfasul that we have here. Madul munfasul means that the long vowel and the cause of the long vowel, the cause of the mad, are in 2 separate words. Okay, so the duration of madul munfasul is 2, 4, or 5 vowel counts. Then we have مَدُّ المتصل in the phrase أَلَّهُ أَذِنَ لَكُمْ. This was originally أَلَّهُ, but it became one مَدُّ اللَّازِم by joining the first Hamza into the second Hamza, making the second Hamza a long vowel. So instead of saying أَلَّهُ, we say Allah. We lengthened the long vowel to 6 vowel counts. Thank you very much, your listeners of Arab English Radio. That was it for today's program of Let's Recite the Quran. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. In continuing our story, we have reached this particular event where the 2 representatives of the Quraysh entered into the court of Najashi, lavished him with the gifts, and said their peace. After them speaking, those in the court of Najashi who were previously given gifts and told the same story started to speak. And they started to say that, yes, what these 2 representatives of the Quraysh are saying is correct. You know, these youths who are inexperienced, who do not know any better, should be sent back with them to the Quraysh and should be dealt with by the elders of that particular tribe, of that particular area, and obviously then be brought back to the right path. On hearing this, Najashi got extremely angry. He's like,
how can you say that? You know, and he says that I will not give these youth and these individuals to the Quraysh. And he says why? He says, I swear by God that a group of individuals sought refuge in me. And they have chosen me from amongst all the other places they could have gone to. They came here to me. It means I must have something that they saw, that they chose me and this country and this, you know, land to seek refuge in. And I will not send these or this group of youth with these two until I summon them and I hear from them and I research about them. That what do they say? And is what these two representatives saying about them true or not? And I have to then hear what they have to say as well, till it becomes clear that whether I should give this group of youth to these individuals or not. That is, either the representatives of the Quraysh are telling the truth or they are not telling the truth, and there is something else behind the plot. So here we see that this individual, Najashi, was a man of intellect, was a man of rationale. He did not just say, oh, because my court is saying so and so, oh, because this person has given me gifts and has, you know, paraded me and has, you know, lifted up my status in front of the people. No. A group of people have come to my kingdom. They have sought refuge in me. There must be a reason why they came here. And who are they? What are they doing here? What is this new religion that they are following? Is this new religion far away? Is it extremely deviant? Is it against the Christianity that we are practicing in Ethiopia at this moment in time or not? Will it, you know, deviate people from God, or will it bring people closer to God? This is one of the great lessons we can take from the story, that we should research about things properly and thoroughly before we make a decision. We should, as they say, you know, do ta'ammul, you know, bear in mind certain things, research certain things until the entire picture becomes clear for us, then to make a educated and a proper decision. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, we will continue the story. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. Thank you all for joining us on today's edition of Light Upon Light.
We are honored to be the guests of your houses today on a very, very auspicious occasion, which is the day that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was proclaimed as Prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Eid al-Mab'ath. Please accept my congratulations. I would like to introduce our very well-known guest, Dr. Radia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you again. Always lovely to have programs with you, to have chats with you.
I have to be thankful.
And Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak to you too.
Okay, so today is Eid al-Mab'ath. It is the day when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was selected and proclaimed as Prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So can you tell us what the meaning of Mab'ath is? And maybe just a few minutes about how this event of Mab'ath took place, how the Prophet was informed about his prophethood.
Yeah, I wish we could see what is going on beyond this material life, you know, like ma wara'u tabi'a in alam al-malakut, in unseen world. This day is the most important day in the history of human being. Mm-hmm. We don't know the meaning of Khatimun Nabiyyin, the final, prophethood. And we don't know the actual meaning of Ba'tha. Therefore, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He talks about Ba'sad, you know, about the prophethood, the time of prophethood of our Prophet, He would literally say, Laqad manna. You know, this is something, you know, Allah is just,
honoring me.
Honoring and telling people that you have to, you know, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You don't know what I'm giving to you. Mm-hmm. You know, as the prophethood of our Prophet is something, you know, which can be so much, which is definitely very, very visible and tangible for all the creation, because the way Allah is Rabbul Alameen, the Prophet is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, and we don't know the meaning of Rahma. If you compare the time of this era after prophethood with the time of before prophethood, you know, if we ask to jinn, to malaika, to angels, they would know, you know, because they could see the tangible change in the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The way Allah is sending His mercies after the ba'sat of Rasulullah is totally different. Mm. So I remember my teachers, they would talk beautifully, and I can't describe, but I have that feelings, you know. Therefore, even whenever I say ba'sat, you know, ba'tha, ba'th, we all know the meaning, the one of the literal meaning and lughawi meaning of this word is to give hayat and life. You know, like literally we are having a true life. We are
like reviving.
Exactly after the prophethood of our Prophet, definitely. And then, you know, we feel that what is the meaning of life, and look at His rahmah, His mercy, that he's keep announcing, He's keep telling everyone that who am I, why I'm here as a prophet, you know, what is my mission. Then one of the very outstanding thing, which is unfortunately again not very, very common in some countries, it's common cultures, but in many cultures I know it's not common, is that he would say, I have brought the deen, the religion, which is samhatu sahla. How do you describe samhatu sahla?
So I guess easy and compromising.
Exactly. Can you believe it? And then people, they say, oh, the scholars, the ulama, the religious people are so strict and so narrow-minded and can't live with them. They're not easygoing. Literally, this hadith is a very, very authentic hadith, you know. Mm-hmm. And samha means just you have to compromise according to the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the deen of comfort, you know, right. Religion of comfort. And the way Prophet is saying, it's so fascinating that I have brought samha. You people don't have samha in your life. Mm-hmm. You are so strict to each other.
Yeah.
You know, I am there to fix your problems. So deen never brings problems, never brings strictness, never, you know, brings something which you say, oh, now I'm just born with this, you know, sharia and limits. No, it's totally opposite. So totally you will feel that, wow, you know, after being connected to deen of Rasulullah, Islam, you know, I can have sahla in my life. Ease and comfort in my life, because this sharia, this whatever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's all based, you know, the foundation is sahla, is samha. It's so beautiful. And this is the time we have to just, you know, highlight these areas of deen.
Yeah,
because we are having so many attacks, yeah, on, you know. So this is a time we have to just, you know, tell everyone in detail that what does sahla means, what does samha means. Because
especially among the young generation, you know, so many of the youth who are turning away from religion, they're saying there's too many don'ts and don'ts and don'ts, and it's just we can't do it anymore. I'm going to pause our discussion here to stay tuned. We're going to go for a very short break, and then we'll be right back with our discussion. This is Light Upon Light. Don't go away.
Being from the line of Prophet Ibrahim and his son Ismail, Prophet Muhammad enjoys an ancestry of entirely monotheistic forefathers. Both parents of the Holy Prophet, Abdullah and Amina, were monotheists. Before the Prophet's birthday, his father Abdullah passed away, and his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, who was the most respected man in Mecca, became the guardian of the young Muhammad. Shortly after the Prophet was born, he was given to a nurse who lived in a community in the outskirts of Mecca. At the age of 6, Amina, the Prophet's mother, died, and in just 2 years later, the Holy Prophet lost his guardian and grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Then, Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle and the father of Imam Ali, became the guardian of the God's Messenger. At the age of 25, the Holy Prophet married Khadija, who was 28 and from a monotheist family. Lady Khadija was never married to another man, and for her considerable wealth, all famous Arab men wished to marry her, but she refused all her suitors. However, she proposed to the Holy Prophet, and they were married. Before the emergence of Islam, Lady Khadija was famous with titles such as the Pure and Honorable. By the age of 40, the Holy Prophet was given the mission to transmit the message of Islam. The first two people who believed in this message were Imam Ali and Lady Khadija. For 3 years, this message was only conveyed in secret and private sessions, but after this period, the Holy Prophet made his first public statement to the chieftains of Quraysh tribe. In this statement, the Holy Prophet revealed Islam to those chieftains and announced Imam Ali as his rightful successor, but this declaration was let down by those chieftains. This was the very year that the Holy Prophet was ascended to the skies to witness the heavens and angels. The idol worshippers of Mecca employed different approaches to stop the Holy Prophet. They used tortures against the newborn Muslim community and tried to bribe the Holy Prophet to relinquish his claim as the messenger of God. But when they saw their efforts are in vain, they decided to boycott the Muslims both in social and economic terms. In order to ease tensions and by the suggestion of Abu Talib, the Muslims left the city and decided to live in a place called Shi'b Abi Talib. After this period, the parchment holding the boycott declaration was eaten by white ants, and this incident was followed by the request of Abu Talib to end the boycott. Due to the unbearable life conditions in those years of boycott, the Prophet's best helper and assistant, Lady Khadija, and his guardian Abu Talib passed away. The Prophet named this year the year of grief for the loss of these two great Islamic personalities. The loss of these two great supporters of Islam escalated the threats to the life of the Holy Prophet in Mecca. Therefore, the Prophet and Muslims decided to migrate to the city of Medina. With his arrival in Medina, the Holy Prophet built a mosque and named it the Prophet's Mosque. And then he settled the disputes between the Jews and the different tribes in the city. The Prophet also developed a charter to grant equal rights to all citizens of Medina and guarantee the security of all groups of people, including the Jews. In this year, and by a divine decree, Imam Ali married Lady Fatima, the daughter of the Holy Prophet. The 10th year after migration marks the last year of the Prophet's life, when the Holy Prophet performed the Hajj rituals for the last time in what was later famous as the Farewell Hajj. In this year, the Prophet gathered all the Muslims in a pond called Khum and declared that he will depart this world in just a few days. In this public statement, the Prophet once again introduced Imam Ali as his rightful successor and asked the people to pay allegiance to him and celebrate this blissful occasion. The Prophet's words were, "Those present should deliver this message to those absent, and the fathers should pass on this message to their next generations until the Day of Judgment." In just 70 days after this declaration, the Holy Prophet suspiciously passed away at the age of 63 in Holy Medina. He was then buried in his own house while the people broke their allegiance with Imam Ali and abandoned the Prophet's last orders.
Welcome back, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Congratulations, Eid Mubarak to all of you on the occasion of the auspicious selection of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as the seal of prophethood and rahmatun lil alameen to mankind. I hope that inshallah we can live up to the title of being the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The program is Light Upon Light. Dr. Najafi, so we were talking about the fact that the Prophet came to bring ease and comfort through the religion of Islam for the people and not difficulty. So what about the personality of the Prophet? Let's talk a little bit about that, because this person who is selected as Rahmatun Lil Alameen, you know, and the more I talk about this, the personality of the Prophet, I guess the most thing that comes to my mind is scenes from the movie Muhammad Rasulullah, the one that is made by Majid Majidi, and I think that he did a great job, you know, representing the early stages of his childhood, that even from his childhood he was showing unique features of, like, saying no to superstition and you know, like, not involving into void activities that maybe sometimes children do. So can you tell us a little bit about the personality of the Prophet and how this personality was just fit for bringing us to Ummat Wahida, the united Ummah that inshallah we will accomplish one day?
When you're asking this question, I was just thinking about this hadith, like, you know, that Prophet, he would say, like, "Hayati khairun lakum wa mamati khairun lakum," because I'm just missing him. I'm just thinking that how come I can't have any maybe physical, you know, meeting with him? How come I'm deprived from visiting my Rahmatul Alameen? He's my Nabi, my Prophet. But unfortunately, we as a lover of our Prophet, we never seen even one of his companion.
Yeah.
You know, you never seen one of I don't know anyone who's really
who
close
to him.
Exactly.
To him. Exactly.
But the way he said, maybe he said to us that Hayati khairul lakum, you know, I'm the source of goodness and a rahmah for you in my during my life, and the same way mamati khairul lakum, you know, if you're just missing me out, just, you know, my presence is there. You know how one of the just I want to give this point, that, you know, then we can do the tawassul. You know, this is so important.